Badge of Silver sired 13 stakes horses in his first two crops and 11 won a place in stakes last year. Silver Max won 5 stakes in 2012. 3 of them were graded stakes. The Grade 2 American Turf at Churchill Downs, the Grade 2 Virginia Derby at Colonial, and the Grade 3 Transylvania at Keeneland. Silver Medallion has won 4 stakes, including the Grade 3 Fort Lauderdale at Gulfstream last year. Sparkling Star won stakes at Hollywood Park and placed in Del Mar Solano Beach Handicap. That's the second year in a row that she's won stakes at Hollywood Park. Fly Lexus Fly, a multiple Grade 1 stakes winner and a champion 3-year-old in South America, came to the USA and ran second in last year's Grade 2 $500,000 Super Derby. Badge of Glory and Doug's Buddy both won stakes last year in Canada, and Doug's Buddy also placed in the Grade 3 Canadian Derby. Now, that's a great start for a sire standing for $7,500 live foal, but it comes as no surprise as Badge of Silver was quite a runner himself. He won 4 graded stakes, placed in 4 others, 3 of them Grade 1, earned over $1 million, and he's a son of the outstanding Silver Deputy. Badge of Silver at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and isn't this a lovely morning? And, oh, Lord, what a mess. Although the track's in pretty good shape. We've had some workers here this morning. It's not too cold and everything. But anyway, we're perking right along here at the clocker stand. Jackie just got here. She's over here taking off about 6 layers of clothes. Just drove in from Bourbon County. And it gets worse as we speak. How were the roads, Jackie, when you came in just now?
Not good.
Not good?
This training center roads are better than Paris Pike.
It's really?
Yeah. Well, the left lane looks like it hadn't been scraped in forever. And the right lane needs scraping. And what happens is, you go along about 35, and then you come up to somebody that's going 20. So you have to switch lanes. Of course, I got four-wheel drive. But you have to be, you have to pass people that are going that slow.
Yeah.
So it's not lovely. Let's see. I took 460. I did not go the back. I didn't take Greenwich.
Didn't you? Didn't come across Ferguson? That's where we usually come from,
yeah.
Bourbon County.
I went and took 460 into the bypass.
Okay.
And came in that way.
I guess I'll go home that way, too.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
460 is a mess.
She's driving an F-350, and I'm driving a front-wheel drive car, so.
Yeah. My left front tire needs air, I noticed.
In the truck?
Yeah. In the big, I've got a, what do you call it, that you plug into ignition?
Yeah.
Pumps in air. Whatever you call it.
Air pumper.
Air pumper upper, right. Air compressor. Thank you to the girl back there with the red hair.
Yeah.
460 is a mess because the left lane, both lanes have to be used. And what's happening is it hadn't been scraped or salted. So people are packing down the snow into a nice icy. I went real slow on 460. That's why I took so long to get here. I left early.
Yeah, well, Rusty had some trouble getting here. His the stoplight wasn't working up at Broadway and the Broadway and the bypass.
Holy cow.
Just like Broadway.
Wow. Yeah.
So he said it would about two cars could get through at a time.
Well, when I got off 460 to turn right on the bypass, I had a red light. There wasn't anything coming. Why would you stop and go through all that, you know, because it's so...
There is one good news, though.
What?
It's Groundhog's Day, and that son of a gun didn't see anything today.
I know it. Amen to that.
Yeah, so maybe we'll have a...
It slacked off a little. It was big flakes when I left the house.
Well, it's been about like this all morning. But here it's...
Well, just have to go slow.
As of 9:30 this morning, they were still running at Turfway.
Now, they were.
They canceled last night, but Joe Heat called from over to Starting Gate, and he just talked to him up there. And as of 9:30, the races were still on. They said at that time it was not snowing up there.
Maybe they've
got snow, but it had stopped.
Southeast Kentucky is supposed to get the most, 8 inches.
Yeah,
we get 2 to 4 if you count tonight, and they get 6 to 8
because
it's blowing. What, northwest, southeast? So maybe Cincinnati won't get it. I don't know anything about the interstate.
I won't know about it.
But I went slow.
Yeah. Well, Doc Byers not going to try to make it.
I bet not.
No, I talked to him a couple of times this morning. But Michael said he was going to. Because he's from Boston. He doesn't know any better. So he'll try to get here. And hope he makes it.
Yeah. Well, if you go slow.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. It's just, you just cannot mess around.
Yeah. All righty. Let's see. Since last week, we ended up with 29 winners during the month of January, which is low for us, of course. But then they had just 13 racing days at Turfway during the month. And we had 23 winners at Turfway. The balance we had... 6 winners at Beulah Park, shipped all the way up there anyway. So, but anyway, we're doing pretty good. Since last week's show, let's see who won. Jim Dodgen. Now, Jim's not stable. Jim is in, this is his brother, training Joe. But Jim is at this moment in Oaklawn Park. And the thing he won, which one will win? Now, I remember that horse's name extremely well because I was here by myself one morning, and I had 3 workers going. One of them was at about the 3/16th pole and was going to get here at any moment. And this lady called up and said she was going to work one, and his name is Which One Will Win. And I said, that'd be W-H-I-C-H-O-N-E Will Win. No, it's W-I-C-H. I said, W-I-T-C-H? She said, yes, W-I-T-C-H. One Will Win. I said, W-O-N-E? And she said, no, W-O-N. I said, look, lady, and I used a bad word, which I shouldn't have. I says, I cannot diddle around. I'll call me back. I'll get your horse, but call me back later. So that's what happened. So by the time we got through talking to her, the horse was, about 3 strides from the finish line, one of them, and I had 2 others in motion. So anyway, I don't know who you were, ma'am. But I'm sorry. Anyway, Jimmy Cargan won one at Turfway. So did Troy Rankin. And then a lady called Magdaleno Delasco won one at Turfway and then went up to Beulah and won one. So congratulations to her. And then Bill Shelley won one at Beulah Park with Jamal the Brute. So congratulations to all them. So. Anyway, we're still winning out of here, although it's not many opportunities. And, of course, they canceled racing at Turfway last night. And as of 9:30 this morning, they're still going.
Funny. I looked over at turned to Turfway last night just before, we went to bed. And they didn't have any Turfway on there. And I thought, well, maybe they ran during the day, but evidently.
They did not run it. Well, it was 7 degrees up there, I mean.
It was 7 degrees here. Ooh, it was nasty.
Well,
nothing works. I turned the radio on in the truck. Okay, the truck's been sitting out in that cold. No light came on to tell me what the station it was on. And I turned it off and on. Then it came on. See, nothing works when it's been that cold.
Even the radio?
Even the radio.
You reckon we're on the air?
I don't know. Depends.
If my listeners out there, call me up and let me know if we're on, will you?
Wake up and call me.
Yeah, wake up and call me. Well, last Saturday at Sam Houston, the Grade 3 $200,000 John B. Connolly Turf Cup Stakes was won by Swift Warrior, a five-year-old horse by First Samurai. Swift Warrior led throughout the nine furlongs to win easily by nearly three lengths. In his previous start, he'd been beaten a length in the Grade 3 River City Handicap at Churchill. He won the $100,000 win stakes at Saratoga last year, getting a mile and 134 and change, and he won the $100,000 rushaway stakes the year before. He's earned over $340,000. His score follows by just 7 days the win by Last Gunfighter, a four-year-old colt of First Samurai, in the evening attire stakes at Aqueduct. That was Last Gunfighter's fourth straight win. He was coming off a victory in the Raymond Earl Stakes, also at Aqueduct. That was on December 9, both those open stakes, by the way. First Samurai was the sire of 10 stakes winners in 2012, including Eclipse Award finalist Executive Privilege. He finished second in the voting, won four stakes, three graded, two grade one. Grade one stakes winner First Samurai by three times champion sire Giants Causeway stands for $10,000. Due in the full stands of nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at Claiborne Farm. .com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years. During that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, time's running out. You have until noon, February 8th, that's this coming Friday, to sign a contract to be eligible for a free season to the following Windstar Stallions. Artie Schiller, Bellamy Road, Colonel John, Drosselmeyer, Gemologist, May Monides, Pioneer of the Nile, Sydney's Candy, Spring It Last, Super Saver, U.S. Ranger, Kodiak Cowboy, Pure Prize, Street Hero. If you hold an existing live foal contract today to any of these stallions, you will automatically be entered into a draw for an additional free season. The rest of you have until noon, February 8th, to become eligible. Now remember, in 2012, three of the top 10 leading sires at stud in the USA were based at Windstar Farm. So was the number one ranked sire on the juvenile sire list and the leading freshman sire among stallions at stud in the USA. Windstar Farm's reputation for making successful sires is on the move. Contact Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim, 859-873-1717, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty, I haven't said what we were doing today.
What are we doing? I consider the day accomplished getting here.
Might not get home. We're going to spend the night here.
No, we're not.
We've got to.
No, we're not. No, I finny the easy chair if we do.
No, we've got, coming in is Zach Kinneman and Kate Lantaff, and they're partners in Tahoma Stud over here on the Briar Hill Road. I'm trying to picture where that is on Briar Hill Road. I wonder if it's any close to Tommy Asbury's place over on Briar Hill. But I'm going to find out when they get here. Otto Draper trains for him. We had Otto on 4 or 5 weeks ago.
A fun interview.
He was, yeah. He used to gallop Genuine Risk and a lot of good horses. I mean, he'd been on a lot of top horses during his day. And Dr. Doug Byers is not coming in because of the weather. Michael Blowen said he was. I think we're going to try to call Doc.
Okay.
And see if he wants to talk to us. He might just tell us to buzz off. Who knows? You know, Doc. Steve Moody, Bloodstock Research Information Services, is going to give us, they're running two stakes down at the fairgrounds today, the Tiffany Lass and the Battle of New Orleans. They're going to fight that down there today.
And they are?
Neither one of them are graded, but they're both stakes races. So we'll get Steve Moody on. Of course, he puts that, as of right now, the Fairgrounds Handicapper Shoot. You can buy, get that off brisnet.com, BRISNET.com. We might look at some past winners of the toboggan. We'll have a chance. We'll look at Bayou. We're still trying to, talking about thrills of 1957.
We've been in 57 for a long time.
Well,
it's a good year.
Yeah. As far as the three-year-olds are concerned.
Good name for a horse, Vintage.
Vintage? Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a horse named Vintage or not.
I don't know, but that's a good name.
Yeah. And if we have time, we'll read a Joe Palmer. And anyway, and yeah, of course, Jackie, you have your announcements, and I'm going to make a run while
okay,
you do that.
Okay, where are my announcements? Oh, they're right here. Hand me my purse so I can get my glasses out. There's a big thing going on out at the horse park today. I hope people who planned on it go. Hand me Susie's glasses.
You have a vitamin there.
I would. He just talks about my purse terribly. It's called the Kentucky Roundup. It's games and fun and stuff for kids. And I hope they have a turnout because, you know, obviously, look outside. You know, it's terrible out there. So go on out if you'd plan on it. And then at 7, it turns into the John Michael Montgomery concert. Now, let's see what else. Today, next Saturday is the Snowball Series Mounted Games, and hopefully the weather will be a little better. And then the Kentucky Horse Park Mounted Police Civilian Sensory Training Clinic. That's a bunch of adjectives. This is their novice part. They go in and they put things around that you think they might run into when you're trail riding or riding somewhere that if the horse has never seen it, they might spook. What happens is the person spooks and then the horse goes, ah!
Are they gonna put a skunk up?
They may put a skunk. You can go be the skunk, Matt. anyway, it's novice level, and they do things. They walk, I think, eventually on plastic and stuff, and balloons and all that sort of stuff. It's the same kind of training that the police, mounted police, get. And those horses are trained death, you know, nothing bothers them. So that is February 16th, which is 2 weeks. So if you want to be in on that, that's an excellent thing. They're really good, especially getting in at the novice level. So you don't have to be, you know, one of the Olympic riders to do this one. And then February 23rd will be Snowbird Dressage at the Covered Arena. That's Julie Congleton. Give them a call about that. And then more mounted games, March the 2nd. Here's one. This is interesting. You might want to put this on your calendar. March the 13th. A park-wide trail ride. So once again, you get to ride all over the park. It's to benefit the Horse Park Foundation. Oh, it's 2 days, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. I think that's a pretty neat thing. I've done those before. And I'm not kidding. You ride up on your horse to those Rolex jumps, and you look up, and you can't imagine. I mean, they look like elephant things. I mean, they might as well carve an elephant. That's how big they are. And then John Michael Montgomery at 7 o'clock with the Danny Frazier Band. So they're going to have door prizes worth of thousands of dollars, all-day demonstrations in the arena. Most of them are ridden by young people, vendors, all kind of vendors. I know Joyce Brinsfield's out there. I know Clever with Leather, Claire Painter. Oh, yeah. They're going to have a safety symposium by Riders for Helmets. They have a lot of exhibitors. They've got a kids' corral where kids can play horse sports on foot. I guess you go out and run barrels or something on foot. There's one that you can do, Matt. Uh-huh. And then they're going to have a place they're calling the stable. Everybody gets to pet or groom a horse or take a pony ride. Oh, I hate that it's snowing. Maybe it'll be cleared up before long and people will be able to get out. I think they're also having clinics because I know my friend Kathy Calvert. I went to law school with her, and she has horses, and she's on a panel, and they're going to talk about what to do if you're interested, if the kid wants a pony, which way to turn, you know, ride at a take lessons first, so, you know, you don't get stuck with some pony. And the Lexington Humane Society is going to be out there with adoptable dogs. Bring your checkbook, so... and then they're going to have, oh, here's the parents' classes, thinking about getting your kids in into ponies and into bankruptcy. That'll be my specialty. I'm going back practice bankruptcy as soon as we get these kids getting more horses. So, then, oh, yeah, here's that thing. That sensory clinic at the Horse Park 15th. Friday is registration hospitality. Oh, okay. Saturday is when you bring a horse. So contact Lisa Rakes, 576-4429. Let's see what else. You have to wear a halter. Kentucky, KTA, Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, and the Kentucky Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders are opening their Kentucky Bred Champion Awards to the members to vote on. So that's kind of neat. If you belong, it's not very expensive to belong either. You get to vote Horse of the Year, Broodmare of the Year, 2-year-old colt, filly, 3-year-old colt, filly, handicap horse, blah, blah, blah. Steeplechase is on there too. So I think that's pretty neat. They might get some interesting from the general public. Let me see. I've got all this already. I've just finished saying that. Oh, Joyce Brinsfield, speaking of, February 9th, she's having an equitation boot camp day for all levels. The 9th is a Saturday, and then the 15th is the following Friday. They're going to have ladies lunging lessons. And the 16th will be open schooling. So 9th is next weekend, 15th, 16th, following. And in March, 2nd, schooling hunter show. And the 3rd will be schooling jumper, which is, of course, Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, the hunters are always on Saturday when I'm here. And then the jumpers are Sunday. Joyce Brinsfield's number is 948-2632. Let me continue here. I printed a bunch of stuff off the computer last night and just grabbed it. You are invited May 4th to the Kentucky Humane Society's Derby Dash Bash. It's going to be at the Ashley Inn on Lexington Road in Bryantsville, Kentucky. If you're interested, go to KYEHC, Kentucky Equine Humane Center, and check it out. It's going to be fun. KEEP is, when is the next meeting? KEEP has this stuff for junior riders, which is nice. They are going to have a KEEP Youth Council, and they're going to kick it off Saturday, February 9th, with a meeting at 1 o'clock at Central Kentucky Riding for Hope at the Horse Park. Going to look at what they've done and what they expect to do, and it keeps everybody's mind on CKRH for sure. So you can call the Horse Park and ask, or you can call KEEP. Okay, Kentucky Equine Survey releases initial findings. There's 242,400 horses in Kentucky worth $23.4 billion. I hope they didn't count ours as being worth anything. Most of them are thoroughbreds, and the rest are quarter horses, and then, let's see, light horses, yeah. Thoroughbreds, most prevalent breed, quarter horses, and walking horses, saddlebreds, donkeys and mules and standard bred, all kind of animals. Okay. Now, what's this about this Dominus, this horse that...
Oh, well, Dominus was just retired over to Spencer, multiple grade two winner. And by Smart Strike, one of my favorite horses, incidentally. Anyway, not that that's worth anything, but they've got a thing over there. If you go over there and just look, just go and look at horses, and you buy a season, you get an automatic $1,000 deduction.
Oh, okay. It's called Bucks or something.
Yeah, Spendthrift Bucks.
Yeah, okay, good.
That's true for everybody except In the Mischief and Malibu Moon.
Why?
And it says subject to availability. May be applied with earned multiple merit discounts, which they give, incidentally, to some of those stallions over there. And you have to be in good standing with Spendthrift Farms. In other words,
it means you don't owe them any money. Right.
You can't go over and look at a horse and say, take it off that stud fee I haven't paid you.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
But, yeah.
Which isn't registered yet, yeah.
There you go. Anyway, it's called Spendthrift Bucks. It's $1,000. Just go over there and look at your studs.
When is it?
If you take a season of one of them, you get an automatic $1,000 deduction. Now, I don't guess there's any deadline on it.
I don't know.
If not.
Call them.
If not, Des Dempsey will come up with it himself.
Sure he will. Right. Okay.
That Irishman just fainted. I hope he was listening.
Yeah. Since we're seeing foals on the ground, we need colostrum. All the colostrum stuff. So
yeah, you might want to look into Reborn. There's a it's a colostrum.
I was watching something this morning, and they on that one of those cowboy things on the racing channel. Lubricin is one of the sponsors.
Ah, Lubricin and okay. Well, January 26th at Gulfstream, the sixth race, that was a $52,500 maiden special for 3-year-old fillies, was won by Close Hatches, another runner from the first crop by First Defense, bred by Millsec LTD, owned by Judmont Farm and trained by Bill Mott. Close Hatches won by widening 7 lengths over a field of 11, and at the direct expense of Sister State, a daughter of AP Indy, with other fillies in the field by such sires as Bernardini and Giants Causeway and Malibu Moon and More Than Ready. Close Hatches was given rising star status by the Thoroughbred Daily News, who wrote, "She came alive entering the stretch and started picking off those horses with alarming ease to challenge for the front while spinning 4 or 5 wide coming into the lane. Her foes simply could not match Close Hatches. Kick, and she reported home a facile 7 lengths victory in a performance reminiscent of her champion stablemate Royal Delta's unveiling at Belmont in 2010. Already the sire of a group stakes winner in his first crop, First Defense. He's got a stakes winner, I believe he's going today in New York. Anyway, First Defense is out of Empire Sisters grade one half-winning half-sister, Honest Lady, by Seattle Slough, and stands for $7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry. Number over there is 859-272-7629. And see the website at judmont.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is brisnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer staff, detailed pedigree data, brisk class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaway. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover brisnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, Tiago earned $2,358,270. Now you don't accumulate earnings like that by dodging tough competition. During his career, he met and defeated 23 other Group 1 or Grade 1 stakes winners, including such as Curlin and Hardspun and Colonel John. He won a place in 11 graded stakes. He won the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, the Grade 1 Goodwood, the Grade 2 Oaklawn Handicap. He won the Grade 2 Swaps Breeders' Cup Stakes, and he placed in 7 other graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Belmont and the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. And big-time earners seem to run in Tiago's family. He is one of 58 stakes winners by Pleasant Tap, winner of over $2,721,000. And his half-brother, Giacomo, won over $2,537,000. Of course, Kentucky Derby winner Giacomo's off to a good start as stud. He's got 14% stakes horses from starters, including a 2013 stakes winner. Out of a multiple stakes winner from a family loaded with black type, Tiago has a pedigree free of Raisin Native, Mr. Prosper, and Northern Dancer. Stands for $3,500. He's a lot of horse for the money, and the fee is not due until the foal stands in nurses. So give Eric Hamelback a call, 859-987-1798, and check the website at AdenaSpringsStallions.com. All righty. Well, Sean Dameron just staggered in here. You picked a hell of a day to come out. We've had nice weather up until now. I don't know if it's following you around, Sean, or what, but... Yeah, go ahead, Jackie.
Go ahead and finish. Okay. NTRA member discounts. You're eligible for up to 40% off Sherwin-Williams. $700 off of riding mower, I'm looking here. Plus, you can get all kind of coupons. $400 coupons. That's if you buy a little John Deere mower. And that equals $1,100 in savings. BrisNet, perfect for trainers, owners, and breeders. They have a performance plan. It's called Unlimited PDF PPs. It's only $75 a month. That's Unlimited PPs, I'm telling you. So that you can't beat that, really. You get speed ratings, pace figures, prime power, class ratings, pedigree info, detailed. Listen to me. I'm sounding like some junior high school coach. With the details, you get detailed jockey trainer stats. I have to put one of those big fat wallets in my shorts, you know, pockets. You know, in the back how they do? They wear those tight shorts. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Go to BrisNet.com. Let's see. The 18th of February, according to the farm managers, is UK Ag Equine Program 6th Annual Pasture Please. Oh, yeah. Oh, March 9th. It's a fun one. Fayette County Farm Bureau Machinery Auction, Kentucky Horse Park. So that's a good one. You can see them all lined up. When's the next meeting?
I don't think it's posted yet.
It's not posted yet, the February meeting. We missed January. Everybody got sick. I hope they had a good... Oh, I got to say something about Ralph Quillen's new saloon, 719 Main Street. Making his own beer.
When's he going to open?
I don't know. It doesn't look like it can be opened yet from what he's posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
They're getting the floor down and the walls and all that kind of stuff. It's empty looking.
Well, you can drink beer on them.
Yeah, I've done it before.
Yeah.
That's awful.
You don't have to have elite surroundings to drink beer.
No, you don't. In fact, it adds to the ambiance if you don't. So I don't think I have anything else. Nah, nah, nah. Masterson Equestrian Trust has some nice T-shirts for sale if you want to. You need to call them. Oh, I want to mention one more time, Macaulay's Longevity, that old horse we got's gaining weight. The stuff is good. Without teeth, they can crush these pellets with their gums. Oh, we gave him, the old guy's 28. He has very few teeth left. He gums stuff. So they love peppermint. So I found some of those round, puffy ones, you know. They're not hard. And I took them out there and he closed his eyes. He couldn't believe it. He was just really, 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 really having a good time on that thing. So anyway, Longevity is the feed. And, of course, Sally Van now, I want to say that real quick. Sally Van is now repairing your own private trailers and diesel trucks. So I think that's it.
All right, dear. All right, but let me see here then. Let me do some commercial here, too, and then I want to get into the KTA, my good friend David Schweitzer, or wherever. And anyway, we'll get to that. Alsus, a filly from the first crop by Invisor, turned in a solid performance in last Saturday's running of the Marie G. Krantz Memorial at the fairgrounds. Austis forced the pace, then finished a closing second to the Grade 1 stakes winner and near millionaire Daisy Devine. It was the first start of the year for Austis. Last year, she won a maiden special at Arlington, won a $42,000 allowance test at the same track, and she went into her first stakes try off another impressive win at the fairgrounds. She's posted wins on grass and artificial, and she's a filly with a future. Horse of the World Invisor, one of six consecutive Grade 1 stakes, among them the Breeders' Cup Classic over Bernardini, posting 116 bar, and the Dubai World Cup, retired with earnings of more than $7,804,000. Excuse me. He stands at Shadwell Farm for $4,000 live foal. Also at Shadwell are the stallions Albertus Maximus, De Hare, Interdab, Jazzle, and Mooston Farr. Interdab's got one going in the stakes race up in New York today. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes, 859-224-4585, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. We were talking about Ralph Quillen's Bar to Be, and can't wait for that to open. We'll have a place to go hang out down in Paris now. Ralph Quillen's Bar.
Saloon.
It's Saloon.
Well, you take a look at Ralph with all that hair on his face, and you can hardly say bar.
I am going. He looks like he's out of the old West, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah.
That may be the theme.
Might be. Well,
Rooster Brew Beer.
Is that what you call it? Rooster?
Yeah.
Rooster.
Okay. Yeah, and, oh, man, what's her name? Friend of mine designed the rooster sign. It's real good.
Well, I want you to keep in mind he's going to open that, but don't forget that he's got the greatest leather and tack shop in around. That's Quillen Leather and Tack.
Oh, good.
And the nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship over 17,000 halters a year all around the world. So anyway, that's it's a great tack shop right down in Paris, Kentucky. And if you go down in the Paris Pike into Bourbon County, and go into Paris, and it's the third stoplight on your left. It can't miss it. And they have a great gift shop, and it's just a fun place to go in and look around. You go and prices are reasonable, and the quality is just can't be beaten. So the halters and the leather that you use are first class. They do first class work there, and have for years and years and years. That's Quillen Leather and Tack, QUILLIN.com. And it's a fun shop to go. As a matter of fact, it's so much fun to go there that they stop tours in there now. Well, John's Causeway aside, 129 stakes winners, and the first to win stakes around two turns is 2-year-old with Santiva. He accomplished that feat in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill Downs shortly after running second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity at Keenan. He then went on to run second to Grade 1 winner and millionaire Mucho Macho Man in the Grade 2 Risen Star Stakes. That's at the fairgrounds. And he turned in a dead game performance in the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby. Just got beat 5 lengths for all the money after an eventful trip. Now, Santiva was a runner with a great pedigree. Giants Causeway's led the North American Sire List 3 times. And Santiva's dam is a half-sister to the brilliant Safely Cap, winner of the Eclipse Award as champion sprinter, an earner of more than $2,194,000. And she's also a half-sister to the greatest stakes winner, Partners Hero. Partners Hero won over $554,000. It's a pedigree which crosses extremely well with Mr. Prospector Linemeyer. Check that out. Santiva is standing his first season at stud for $7,500. Do when the foal stands and nurses, and listen to this. If you're one of the first 15 to book to him, and you breed twice, you'll get receive a free lifetime breeding right. He stands at Warhorse Place. Inquiries to Jerry Assinger, 859-509-0053, or Dana Assinger, 859-509-3157. Double-check those phone numbers. Go to the website, warhorseplace.com.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul.
Righty. Am I back on, my friend? Okay. Want to look at Kentucky Bred winners of stakes over the last weekend. The Holy Bull down at Gulfstream Park went to It's My Lucky Day, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. That's Jim and Pam Robinson. They raise a lot of runners over there. Running second was Shanghai Bobby by Harlan's Holiday. And he was bred by Stonehaven Steadings, and they're breeding a lot of horses, too, you know. And Clearly Now ran third, and he's by Horse Greeley. Me, standard. That one was bred by Claiborne Farm. So Kentucky Breds 1, 2, 3 in the Holy Bull Stakes. Three Derby candidates as we speak. That's the first crop by Horace Greeley, incidentally. Let's see. Moving right along. The Forward Gal Stakes, Grade 2 at Gulfstream Park, went to Quiet Katie. Of course, she's by Malibu Moon. She was bred by Spendthrift Farm and owned by Stone Street Stables. Quiet Katie beat My Happy Face, who was by Tis Wonderful, and Tis Wonderful's also bred by Spendthrift Farm in partnership with Shaw Hound Place. That's the Cook Brothers down in Paris, Kentucky. And, of course, as I said, the Malibu Moon and both Tis Wonderful are at Spendthrift Farm, so they won two there. Actually, Kentucky Breds 1, 2, 3 because Pow Wow Wow ran third, and Indian Charlie was bred by Mary Lou Whitney Stables. The John B. Connolly Cup Turf Stakes, Grade 3 at Sam Houston, was won by Swift Warrior. And Swift Warrior is by First Samurai, and he stands at Claiborne Farm. Bred by Paget Bloodstock, Neartic Bloodstock, and Carhue Investments. And it was 1, 2, 3 again, Kentucky Breds. And that King David, who was second, was bred by Ben Lengotcher, and Wilcox Inn, who ran third, bred by Dr. John Chandler, and is by Harlan's Holiday, who, of course, is over at Windstar Farm. And let's see. The Colonel E.R. Bradley Handicap, Grade 3, at the fairgrounds, named, of course, after the former owner of Idlehour Farm out on Old Frankfort Pike. The winner was Optimizer, Optimizer bred by Bluegrass Hall. Santa Isabel Stakes, Grade 3, at Santa Anita, went to 50 Shades of Hay. That's not gray now. 50 Shades of Hay, bred by Windstar Farm, and is by Pulpit, who is, of course, Pulpit's gone now. So at 64 Stakes winners, stood over at Claiborne Farm. He died on December the 5th down at Claiborne Farm. He was just 18 years old and died much too soon. The Affectionately Stakes, at Aqueduct, went to Twice the Lady, bred by Ed and Sharon Houdon. The Houdons have horses in training here, incidentally. Jimmy Corrigan trains for them. Really nice people, as a matter of fact. Very fond of them. And I'm glad to see that the bred a nice stakes winner there. The Allen's Landon Stakes went to Tour Guide. Tour Guide by Broken Vow. He's off and running. He had, 19 stakes winners last year? Broken Vow down to Pin Oak Stud. This one bred by Gary and Mary West. The Cagey Exuberant Stakes at Aqueduct went to Celtic Chant, bred by Waterville Lake Stables. The El Paso Times at Sunland, Melody Lady won that one, bred by Hill and Dale Equine Holdings and Helly Brock Racing Stable and Edward McGee. The King Cotton Stakes at Oaklawn, Apprehender won that, bred by the JFB Stables. The Lightning City Stakes at Tampa Bay, Smarties Emperor, let me look at this, Emperor S. Anyway, bred by Gaines Gentry Thoroughbreds and Richard Nip. Any more? Yeah, the Marie G. Krantz Memorial down at the fairgrounds went to Daisy Divine. This is a nice mare. She's 5 years old now, bred by Riley McDonald. She's won Grade 1 Stakes last year. Riley McDonald, I should say. Excuse me, Riley. And the Van Berg Stakes at the fairgrounds. Now I wonder if that's named after Jack or his dad. Either way, they're both good horsemen. Animal Style won that, bred by Edwarda Racing Stables. But it's a Kentucky bred co-races for let me see race for anyway. Oh, Ken and Sarah Ramsey. Okay, well, I'll get it straight momentarily. All righty. Let's see what we're doing here now. We might try to call. Did you get a hold of Moody? Okay. I wonder if we can get Doc. I got his number written down over there, Jackie, on a card. And I wonder if Michael's going to try to come in or not. Oh, I tell you where it is. It's up on the bulletin board up there. Pinned up there.
It is 621.
We'll call it.
Yeah, call him on this phone. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to call Michael, too, and see if he's coming. He might not be able to make it now.
I don't think it's going to last that much longer.
It's not snowing in Louisville. There's some scattered behind it, but it doesn't look...
Any worse than it is?
No, yeah. Not to me. What do you think?
Well,
she's sitting over smart aleck with her smartphone.
Doc didn't come in. Michael's not here, and we can't get a hold of Steve Moody. That leaves you and me. Unless we put Matt Howard on.
No, that leaves you and... whoever. You and Palmer.
Holly, you want to come over here and talk?
No, she said no.
No?
No.
Well, she's up here in case... Where is he? Matt Howard's got a hold of Michael there now. I don't know if he's going to try to make it or not. Give us a report, Matt, on Mr. Blowen. The man from Massachusetts, he shouldn't bother him at all.
He's going to help Doug. Do you want to talk on the phone? And I'll have him call you on the phone. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have him. He's talking to Doug right now, but I'll have him call you and then he'll pick up
the air.
Okay.
Okay. Michael's going to telephone the thing. Telephone.
Michael's going to call in too?
No, you need to call Michael.
Okay.
Because it's too bad.
All righty.
What a wuss.
Well, I'll tell you what, while you're calling that, I'll just do a commercial set and get it out of the way here.
Well,
see where in the heck I am here. Okay. Well, last Saturday, Gulfstream, the grade 2 $200,000 Forward Gal Stakes was won by Quiet Katie, a 3-year-old filly by Malibu Moon, bred by Spencery Farm. And that same day at Laurel, the Nellie Moore Stakes went to Moon Filly, a 4-year-old filly by Malibu Moon. Those two stakes wins followed by just 6 days, the score by More Chocolate, yet another 4-year-old filly by Malibu Moon, in the grade 2 La Canada Stakes at Santa Anita. Of course, that's what we've come to expect from Malibu Moon. He's the nation's sixth-ranked sire last year. Running second to Kwai Katie in the grade 2 Forward Gal was My Happy Face, a 3-year-old filly from the first crop by the young spendthrift sire Tis Wonderful. Bred by Spendthrift Farm in Shawhan Place, My Happy Face won the grade 3 Tempted Stakes and was a head bobbing second in the grade 1 Frizette as a 2-year-old. She is one of 20 first crop winners by Tis Wonderful, an undefeated multiple graded stakes winner at 2 and a son of Tis now. Malibu Moon and Tis Wonderful. Tis Wonderful feed $12,500 doing the full stands of nurses. Both stand at Spencery Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Mark Toothaker, or Ned Toffee at 859-294-0030. Always inquire about breeding incentives, such as discounts for multiple breedings that are available for many of the Spendthrift stallions. And see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. Well, I want to talk about a couple of products that I'm getting pretty enthusiastic about, and that would be Reborn and Lubricine. And they are available around here. I think they've ordered them. I think you might be able to get them, but check before you go down to Quill Intact because...
They better check.
Yeah, better check. But anyway, KBC and Lexington and Horse Sense and Resales carry them. And they also, the Lubricine, is you can get it for people, and Jackie uses it.
It's great.
She's getting awful frisky, so I might have to take her off of it. But anyway, both were developed by Dr. Steve Alday, and they're endorsed by a whole lot of owners and trainers and veterinarians, and they're all natural, and they're test-free. You know, if you give one to, you don't have to worry about the spit box or anything like that. Lubricine, it sustains the integrity of joint fluid and helps reduce the need for hyaluronic acid injections, and, you know, that are expensive. And I tell you, here's the biggest endorsement about it is that trainers like Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer and Michael Maker, Charles Lepresti used it. He used Reborn for Wisedan, and we'll get who, of course, was a horse of the year. But Reborn is a natural bovine colostrum, and it's safe, easy to use as a supplement. Starting with foals, incidentally, it strengthens the foal's immune system immensely while nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. And you know, the colostrum is awfully important, and we're always run low around it and around here in the both Haggard's and Rood and Riddle and Woodford. They usually run in low on it. So here's a way you can help out. It supports immune functions in horses of all ages, of course, and It provides a quicker recovery from physical challenges. That's Reborn. Now, for more information about Lubricin, that's Lubrisyn, and Reborn, Re-Borne, we'll give you a number to call, 800-901-9498. And you can always log on to their, just their names, just to Google it, Lubricin, Lubrisyn, and Reborn, and born with an E, and they'll give you some directions on how to use it, where to buy it, and so forth. So two very excellent, excellent products. Well, here we go again. Broken Vow was a sire, 19 stakes winners last year. He's starting a new list already in 2013. Last Saturday, Sam Houston, the Allen's Landing Stakes, was won by Two Guide, a three-year-old colt of Broken Vow, bred and owned by Gary and Mary West. Two Guide was one of 5 2-year-old stakes winners of 2012 by Broken Vow. He won the Sugar Bowl Stakes at the Fairgrounds on December 22nd, and he has won 4 of his 6 career starts, including his last 3 in a row. In addition to the 19 stakes winners, 9 others placed in stakes. That's 28 black type earners last year alone. And that's why Broken Vow sales yearling sold for up to $500,000, and his sales 2-year-olds for an average of $158,450 with a high of $475,000. That last year. Now, Broken Vow stud fee, $25,000 life old. Stands a Pin Oak stud. That's the home also of the multiple graded stakes winner and Millionaire Cowboy Cal by Giants Causeway, $7,500 life old, and Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic. Of course, he's sired 59 stakes winners, $7,500 life old. Inquiries to Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevenson. See the website at pinoakstud.com.
Sally Van Sunny or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Think we got it?
I'm heading down the highway, have a dear friend in old time.
All righty, I think I've got Dr. Doug Beyer with me over there on Ironworks Pike. Doug, are you there?
I am, and just about snowed in.
Well, you're smart. I may be snowed in at the clocker stand.
Yeah. Did Michael make it?
Yeah, and yet. I don't know if he's coming or not. Jack, is Michael Blowing coming?
No, you're going to call him.
No, we got to call him, too.
Yeah. It's not terrible, but it's enough that it's treacherous.
Yeah, it's getting terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jackie had a hard time coming in. She took her time. She was late getting here. And what else is new, huh?
Yeah.
I'm never late.
Oh, she says she's never late. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
No, actually, doctor does pretty well. Yeah. Go
ahead.
What's going on with you other than not being able to get out today?
Well, met with some friends from Florida and Dr. Barry David. So we had a little discussion about heavy horses that get the heaves.
Okay.
And I thought it would be a topic we could discuss. And I think I said before that we don't see a lot of it in Kentucky, but we have a lot in other areas, and of course it's Super Bowl weekend, and so we see a lot of issues with their lungs in places like Louisiana, parts of Florida, etc. But the bottom line is that your horse will be a little bit older, usually about 7 years or an adult. And the older they get, the more problems they'll have. And they basically develop asthma. So their bronchioles constrict and get closed down. And so they're doing a lot of research now. They're talking about things called interleukins, which are cytokines or chemical substances that are released.
Uh-huh.
And so the lung starts to constrict. And then the horse doesn't have routine airflow. And the so they get what's called chronic obstructive lung disease, and that's exactly what we have. We get the same thing, but again, it's more regional, and we don't see a lot of it in Kentucky, but you can once in a while, but not a whole lot. So they get this constriction, kind of like having an asthma attack. The interleukins have now migrated into the airway, and it is affected a lot by the environment. So there are places that get more mold, and the molds are shown absolutely to contribute to these lungs shutting down. And so they get bronchitis, and they begin to secrete mucus, kind of like people's... so anyway, the airway gets thick as mucus. You can get secondary pneumonia, and these horses typically, over time, develop a cough. And the cough is more and more irritating as age goes on, and it causes damage to the lungs, and it can incapacitate the horse. The airways just get... I heard Jackie here, but...
Yeah, my guest just got here. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I won't keep you long, but when you have a horse that has a dry cough that they can't control, then typically that's what you're going to get with heaves. Now, we don't call it heaves anymore, but that's basically the old name for it. But you put those horses on steroids, you use drugs like things that block the airway constriction, so atropine and some of those. Clenbuterol is typically used on the long term, and you have albuterol, just like the, you get inhalers. We have aeromasks in horses, and these horses basically are manageable, but they have the problem for as a lifelong insult. Theophylline is cheap and can be used the same way. The aeromast, I said, help break up that mucus and get it under control. And mucus is a bad guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, they are manageable. Take their feed tubs. Get the moldy stuff out of there. Don't let the residual mold build up in. And you got to treat them with drugs and management. So you may have a horse that's a heavy, and you might discover that if you put him outside, he won't have heaves.
Mm.
In Louisiana, they get what's called summer heaves, and so they'll have that insult throughout the year.
Very good, Doc.
All right. Well, yeah. And again, the typical thing is horse looks kind of happy, but he's got a persistent cough.
I had a pony when I was a kid that the only time I thought he had the heaves was when I approached him with the saddle. So that's, but anyway. All right, Doc, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Stay warm.
Okay.
All righty. All right, well, Taylor the Cat Society, two stakes winners already this year. First, there was a Shin Top winner of January 6th of a Group 3 stakes in Japan. Then on January 21, Private Tail won the Native Painter at Law. Shin Top was bred by the Randall Family Trust. He's a $400,000 graduate of the Keeneland September Sales. He's won four of his five starts, including a Group 2 stakes last year as a two-year-old. Private Tail, bred in Virginia, has won six times and been on the board in 13 of his 14 starts for earnings of over $232,000. He's the 90th stakes winner by Taylor the Cat, side of the winners of over $7 million last year. Taylor the Cat is ranked among the top 10 on the general sire list four times. He was the nation's second-ranked sire of 2012 stakes winners, of winners, excuse me, 2012 winners, with 156 winners, among them 18 two-year-old winners. In fact, he sired more two-year-old winners than any sire at stud in the USA. Champion sire Taylor the Cat by Stormcat out of Yarn by Mr. Prospector stands for $25,000. Payable when the foal stands and nurses at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Call the farm, 859-873-7088, and see the website at coolmore.com.
WLXC Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville! What price they'll cost?
For badge of silver side, 13 stakes horses in his first two crops, 11 won a place in stakes last year. Silver Max won five stakes in 2012, three of them graded stakes. The grade 2 American Turf at Churchill, the grade 2 Virginia Derby, that's the Colonial, and the grade 3 Transylvania at Keeneland. Silver Medallion has won four stakes, including the grade 3 Fort Lauderdale at Gulfstream last year. Sparkling Style won stakes at Hollywood Park and placed in Del Mar's Solano Beach Handicap. That's the second year in a row she's won stakes at Hollywood Park. Fly Lexus Fly, a multiple grade 1 stakes winner and a champion three-year-old in South America, came to the USA and ran second in last year's grade 2 $500,000 Super Derby. Badger Glory and Doug's Buddy both won stakes last year in Canada, and Doug's Buddy also placed in the grade 3 Canadian Derby. Now, that's a great start for a sire standing for just $7,500. Payable when the foal stands and nurses, and is no surprise, comes as no surprise, as Badge of Silver was a runner himself. He won four graded stakes, placed in four more, three grade 1, and earned over $1 million. He's the son of outstanding sire, a silver deputy. Badge of Silver stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brayard and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right. Well, my guest, we're starting the second hour now, and I have Zach Kenneman.
Kenneman. Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
All right. And Kate Lantath.
That's right.
I got that right, didn't I?
You got that one right.
And then, the law amateur's caught up with me, I tell you. You want to get a little closer, a little bit closer. To that mic. Yeah, although you got a good, strong voice. Anyway, they own Tahoma Stud. Over on
Briar Hill Road.
Yeah, I'm trying to place where it is on Briar Hill.
Okay, it's just beyond Royster Road. It's on the right-hand side as you're going out of town toward Cleveland.
Is it close to Hedgewood Farm?
Not really. Yeah, I mean, we're kind of right in the middle. We're kind of right in the middle there. This used to be Steve Snowden's old farm, Watermill Farm.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then I know where it
is. There you know.
Yeah, I just never get over that direction. Very much. Now, you all are not from here.
No, we're not. I'm originally from Washington State, and Zach is, well, he's kind of from all over the place.
I'm originally from Ohio, but I never spent any time there. And I grew up in New York, and then 1973, I decided to go west, and I wound up in Tacoma, Washington, which is where I met Kate 40-some years ago.
40-some years ago.
So. We haven't been together years.
She couldn't have been 3 years old at that time.
That's right. I know.
Absolutely.
You robbed the cradle, dear.
We actually didn't meet in Tacoma. We met in France on the Normandy invasion beach with a school-sponsored trip we were both attending. And I was there with my girlfriend and I noticed she was flying across the beach and into the water. And I said, who's that gal? So we've been friends ever since, and we've been together
15 years
this coming October.
Well, Zach, was your how'd you get in the horse business? Your family in the horse business or anything?
You're sitting next to my entree into the horse business.
Oh, okay.
I've always loved
horses. And you're still together.
And we're still together.
That's amazing. He's very patient.
I always wanted to be a cowboy, but growing up in I grew up close to the city in New York. My parents absolutely could not and did not want me to have a horse.
Tell Ursula a story about the pony that showed up.
I had mononucleosis with my brother, and I kept asking to take riding lessons of any kind. Again, I was very much influenced by...
How old were you at this time?
No, about 8 years old.
Okay.
And we were living in actually rural New Jersey and outside of Somerville. And we were very badly stricken by the mononucleosis. And I got up from my bed, and my brother, when we were just sitting there, as kids do, just reading books and fooling around. I opened up the window, and lo and behold, there's a pinto pony standing in my backyard. And I go running out of my room, and I'm just cheering. I figured my mom bought me a pony for my because I'm sick. And I go in, I grab her, and I said, "Thank you so much for my horse." She looks at me, she goes, "What horse?" "Mom, I need a saddle." And then she said, "There's no horse." And I said, "Yes, there is. Look." My mom grew up in Pennsylvania in a steel and coal mining town and had nothing to do with horses. And so she immediately said, "You stay in the house. I've got to call your father."
Uh-oh.
And unfortunately, the horse had escaped from the farm down the road, and it wasn't mine, and they led my horse away, and I was in terrible tears.
Well, Kate took care of that problem.
Kate has more than taken care of that.
Many more.
I've done some things. I'm sure many of your listeners have done the same thing, but I have never expected to be giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to a foal less than 2 minutes old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite an experience. And you had a previous guest on your program who is our farm manager, Otto Draper. And I only had to do that after Otto's false teeth blew out and into the straw.
Otto, I apologize for this.
You knew we were going to tell stories.
I told you. But and he looks at me and he says, "Z, you got to do this." And I just said, okay.
Well, I don't know if I want to follow Otto or not. That was the only thing. I wouldn't mind kissing the horse, but I don't know about Otto.
In Kate's 15 years and together, we find ourselves sometimes looking at each other and saying, "I trained as a lawyer, and here I am doing a variety of things." She's trained as an archaeologist, and we find ourselves with horses being called upon all the time to do things you just can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, even 2 days ago or one night ago, we were 1 o'clock in the morning putting a blanket on a horse in the middle of a field with car lights as the only source of illumination. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you do things.
Where'd you send Otto?
Otto is safely.
Luckily, Otto was home in his bed, sound asleep. I hope.
Absolutely. Sorry about that.
Oh, well. Where are you from? You're originally from?
Washington State. Yeah, we lived in Tacoma, Washington. My dad had a lumber company there, and they started me out kind of early, but inadvertently. My mom always said it was the beginning of the end. We'd gone on a vacation to Ocean Shores on the Washington coast and rented horses for the day. And that was it. I was 5 years old. Started out next with riding lessons at Woodbrook and Tacoma and Lakewood, Washington, over near Fort Lewis. And the rest is, you know, riding kind of history. I was showing up and down the West Coast.
What were you?
Hunter jumpers.
Hunter jumpers?
Hunter jumpers. Okay. And then they had a hunt club there. I was a member of the Woodbrook Hounds and rode when I was a little kid.
Do you fox hunt around here?
No, I don't. I want to. I haven't really, you know, in the time that we've been here, it has been so busy, and it's always such a variety of things going on. I really haven't had the time. People ask me, "Do you ride all the time?" No.
Not anymore.
Hardly at all. Yeah. Brown's a lot farther away, and it seems to be a lot harder than it used to be.
Yeah, yeah. You hunter jumpers, most of them thoroughbreds?
Yeah, most of them were thoroughbreds. We got them off the racetrack.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, the old Long Acres, my first home. My dad had racehorses when I was a teenager, and I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with the camaraderie out of Long Acres. Yeah. It was just a wonderful group of people, and ended up hanging out a lot at the backside and working for Max Nichols, who had Blue Spruce Farm. Mm-hmm. Just a wonderful, he was a veterinarian and just a wonderful guy. He was a trainer, and I ended up riding for him when I was 16.
Okay, yeah. Did you know Ralph Vacca?
I did. I love Ralph. Ralph was a great guy.
Is Ralph still alive?
I believe. Yeah,
is he?
I guess Ralph's still
I hadn't
alive.
Read anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of an attrition rate going on in the Washington Horse Breeders Association lately. I know that Joe Perrone just died, and
Ralph's up there now. I knew him when he was young, but when he was here.
He was here, yeah. Absolutely.
But he worked for the racing form.
He did, and he always talks really fondly about his time in Kentucky. He just loved it, met a lot of
wonderful
people.
Ralph was a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
We hated to see him leave.
I know. He was terrific. And that was, you know, we had such a Long Acres. It was the saddest day of my life when it closed, really. It was kind of unexpected. I think none of us really saw it coming. And
you were racing there at that time?
Yeah.
Your father was.
My father was. Yeah. And when it closed, I at that point, I had gotten back into horse breeding with my good friend Roberta Luckby. And they had a farm down in Onalaska, Washington. And, you know, her daughter, Terry, is married to Dale Bays. And so there's the whole Bays family connection.
Oh, my goodness,
in Washington, you can't swing a dead cat and not hit a Bays because they're everywhere.
There used to be a young man here from that was from Washington that trained. And I see he's out there. Belvoir was his name?
Oh, yeah, Van.
Yeah, Vance.
Van.
Yeah.
Van is Howard's son.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
He was here for a nice
time. And Clarence's nephew, yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah, we have a lot of old racetrack families in Washington State. You know, we were quite a power to be reckoned with in the breeding industry for a long time. They always said Washington breds outran their pedigrees and were competitive anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's true.
I got to take a break. I'll get right back to you.
You bet.
Well, last Saturday, Sam Houston, the Grade 3 $200,000 John B. Connolly Turf Cup, was won by Swift Warrior, a 5-year-old horse by First Samuel. Swift Warrior led throughout. Mile and an eighth, one easy, but nearly three lengths. In his previous start, he'd been beaten just a length in the Grade 3 River City Handicap at Churchill. He won the $100,000 win stakes at Saratoga last year, getting the mile and 1:34 and change, and the $100,000 rush away the year before for earnings of over $340,000. His score follows by just 7 days, the win by Last Gunfighter, a 4-year-old Copa First Samuel, and the evening attire stakes at Aqueduct. And that was Last Gunfighter's fourth straight win, and he was coming off a win in the Raymond Earl Stakes at Aqueduct on December 9. First Samuel was the sire of 10 stakes winners last year, including Eclipse Award finalist, Executive Privilege. She won 4 stakes, 3 graded, 2 grade 1. Grade 1 stakes winner First Samuel by 3-times champion sire Giants Causeway. $10,000 to win a full stanza nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sam. See the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, had been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, Tiago earned $2,358,270. Now, you don't accumulate earnings like that by dodging tough competition. During his career, he met and defeated 23 other Grade 1 or Group 1 stakes winners, runners like Curlin and Hardspun and Colonel John. Won a place in 11 graded stakes, won the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, the Grade 1 Goodwood, the Grade 2 Oakland Handicap, and the Grade 2 Swaps Breeders' Cup Stakes, placed in seven other stakes, including the Grade 1 Belmont and the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. And big-time earners seem to run in the family. He is one of 58 stakes winners by Pleasant Tap, win of over $2,721,000, and his half-brother, Giacomo, won over $2,537,000. Of course, Kentucky Derby winner Giacomo is off to a good start, 14% stakes horses from starters, including a stakes winner already this year. Out of a multiple stakes winner from a family loaded with black type, Tiago has a pedigree free of raising native Mr. Prospector nor the Dancer, $3,500 stud fee, payable when the foal stands and nurses, and that's a lot of horse for the money. Give Eric Hamelback a call, 859-987-1789, and check the website at AdenaSpringStallions.com. All right, I'm talking to Zach Kinnamore and Kate Lantoff. Did I pronounce that right?
No, you got close.
Yeah, it's close enough for government work. It's Kinnaman. But
Kinnaman.
Yes.
Hell, I can't read my own writing. Okay. Oh, Kinnaman, okay. Sorry about that, Zach. Zach, I can handle.
Yeah, well, that's the best way to call me.
Yeah. All right. Did you all race in Northern California, too?
In Northern California. We raced a little bit in Southern California. I was with Dent Caton Racing Stables in Northern California for a number of years, and just one of the great, really unsung trainers in Northern California. A lot of talent. Unfortunately, he didn't get the stock that he should have gotten, but yeah. Just a very innovative man. And he started out as a microbiologist and then went to work for Eddie Neloy in the 60s when they had all those Phipps horses.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The stories were just unbelievable. I mean, he was there when Buck Passer was in the barn and just...
You know, he's buried right next door. I know
he is. Yeah. I've been over there. Yeah, when it was still Green Tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you branched out on your own, I guess.
I did. I worked for, through a connection of dance, I worked for John Franks for a couple of years. We were trying to set up...
No, he was from Louisiana.
He was from Louisiana. Yeah. And Dent was a good friend of Jeff McElwain, who was his racing manager at the time. Mm-hmm. So Mr. Franks had this idea that he wanted to... He had so many mares. I mean, at this point, I think he had about 1,600 horses total.
I know.
Yeah, which is like an emerging nation,
yeah.
You know, of horses.
Yeah.
And he was trying to hold on to as many of his mares. I mean, he hated getting rid of a horse, absolutely loathed it, and would find any excuse to retain these things forever if you let him. And he wanted to put together this mare share program in British Columbia and Washington, basically those two states, where some of his mares that he felt would do better in a regional program could shine and take advantage of the breeders program, which in Washington and BC at the time were very lucrative. I mean, you could, before they had to make their concessions to the government to get Emerald Downs up and running, and while Longacres was still going, I mean, you could make quite a bit in breeders awards.
Uh-huh.
And it was a great idea. It was a harder sell than we thought it was going to be because people were skeptical. I mean, a lot of those mares of his were just starting out at the time, and they were like Monique Renee and, Pardon My Speed, and all those horses and all those mares. And now, of course, I mean, they're just treasures. They're the second and third dams of a multitude of graded stakes winners. But at the time, they were just younger mares starting out. And he wanted to place them where they could do some good. And one of the first people that actually was receptive to this was, again, my friend Roberta Leckby at Leckby Thoroughbred Farms, and that's how I got to know her, was able to place a couple stallions with her. Police Inspector was one who had won a bunch of races up in BC at the old Exhibition Park, and we did manage to place a few mares, but I got to know Mr. Franks at that point, and I worked several sales for him, agenting, and...
In Louisiana?
Up in Arkansas, we did that old Arkansas Fairgrounds sale. I used to drive from Shreveport up to Little Rock all the time in the middle of February. But yeah, it was really interesting, and what a wonderful man. He was unbelievable. He had all those horses, all the pedigrees, the produce on all the mares at his fingertips, just like that. I mean, you could say... Monique Renee, he'd tell you what she'd had, who she was in foal to, uh-huh. when her due date was. He had a wonderful memory for all of it and just a real passion for it. Yeah. He's a great man.
Well, other than Normandy Beach, where did you meet Zach?
I went to the University of Puget Sound, and Kate had, I'm not quite sure about how you actually signed up for the same program. We wound up in England together through a school program, and I was there, as I said before, with my girlfriend, and Kate and I would see each other and talk, but no real romantic connections. But we had so many common interests that we became really close friends. And she went to my wedding, and we stayed in touch for a while, but my circumstances, I was up in Seattle becoming a lawyer, and you were pursuing the horse business and breeding, and our paths just didn't cross for 16 years, and between the two of us, we actually have 6 children, all of them grown, but that was kind of a surprise for me that she had 2 and I had 4. And then one day, I was in the tail end of a really nasty divorce, and I had a list of my friends that I hadn't talked to in years, and Kate was at the top, so I made one phone call, and that was 15 years ago.
He'd planned that all along.
He was immediately plunged into the world of horses, and I don't know what he thought about that, but...
I couldn't believe it when I first... we went to... My first trip to Kentucky, we went to the Kentucky Oaks, that Silver Bullet Day.
Uh-huh. With Roberta and Merv, luckily.
With Roberta and Merv.
And he had the best time in the world.
I just...
You know how addictive it is. I mean, once you get started, it's...
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's not like we didn't know the people that were involved. I
mean, Gary, knew a lot of the people that were involved.
Gary Stevens rode Silver Bullet Day. Mike Pegram had McDonald's franchises up
in Washington State.
Mount Vernon, Washington.
And Otto had intimate connections with everybody. And at that point, I had horses with Otto at Crescent Farms.
Yeah, I was going to ask you where you met Otto and how long has he been with
Otto. I have known since, oh my gosh, it's probably been 1996. And so, boy, 17 years?
Yep.
That's a long time. Dan actually recommended, I had a farm here in Kentucky on Russell Cave Road. And
where on Russell Cave?
It was the old, it was Don Disney's old farm, right next to Pillar Stud.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Right next to Pillar
Stud. Right next to Pillar. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But just past it, just a little bit. Right now, I think... I'm not sure who's in there.
House
I
said way Bill back Mayle, on top of the hill.
There was a duplex that was way in the back, and there was a little kind of manager's house, office complex next to the front barn. But I bought it from Don Disney and then sold it in 96. I ended up getting breast cancer and had to stay in Washington just to deal with that and the treatments and whatnot, and sold it. And I sold it to Kylie Bax. And then I believe she's leased it to Bill Maley. So... That's as
vaguely
far
know where that
as I
is,
know.
You know.
Right. It was across from the old 505, which is now Victory Haven and I think McPeaks and everything else. But at that time, it was 505 that was our neighbor across the street.
Yeah.
Marshall
Mayfield. Dan Scott.
Right.
And Dan and Alice Scott.
Absolutely.
Were you next door to Dan and him?
Yes.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they did buy that, but Pillar Stud had that at one
Pillar
time.
Stud had that at one time when, Bill Dupont had it.
Yeah.
They had the big house right next to us. And the
yeah,
house,
they bought it.
The little house that was carved out in between was, actually, Roll Coles is still there, I think, so.
Oh, okay.
Lives in that house.
I knew the Scotts real well. Yeah, they were lovely people.
Dan Scott Farm. Boy, that brings back a lot of memories, huh?
Yeah, it sure does. You know, he was his dad managed Faraway Farm at one time.
That's
know,
right.
Man,
yeah.
Was down there. And, of course, Harry Scott's still. A little closer to town.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, it was an interesting time. I mean, I really did not want to sell my farm, and I really had no choice at the time. So I sold it, and I took a couple years hiatus, and I still had horses, mares that I wanted to retain myself. And so I asked Dan, you know, where do I go with these guys? I mean, at this point, you know, California's closer for me. I did not know what was going to happen with my situation. Medically.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, I've got a great guy, Otto Draper. He's at Creston Farms. He actually manages the training barn, but he's a wonderful, give Otto a call. And we've been friends ever since.
Okay.
I mean,
so he was, Otto was from Washington. Right?
Otto actually originally, I believe, is from Idaho.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
but he ended up in California.
Not a whole hell of a lot of racing in Idaho, is it?
No.
He was fun to talk to. He was good. He was a fun interview. Yeah.
The stories. The stories are so wonderful.
Yeah, talking about galloping genuinely.
Oh.
Yeah. Boy, he's been on a lot of good horses.
He's been on a lot of good horses.
Yeah, good horses.
Hopefully, we'll get some good horses for him here pretty quick to train and. He can get back into the training generation.
You've been on some good horses.
I've been on some really nice horses.
Yep. All right. You galloped them yourself?
I galloped horses when I was in. When I left Washington State, I was a very young 17 when I went to college.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been working at Long Acres, galloping horses for Dr. Nichols. And I decided that I wanted to go to USC, and the reason I wanted to go to USC is so I could be in Southern California and take advantage of all that great horse racing. So mm-hmm. I applied to USC. Amazingly, I got in, and I got through a reference from Doc Nichols. I got in with Charlie Whittingham, and I ended up galloping horses in that barn just for about a year and a half. I hurt my back, fell off one day, and hit hard. And had to have surgery, and that's when I went back up to Washington again and ended up going to UPS, and that's where I met Zach. So I took a little hiatus then, went to school. Everybody had been after me, especially Charlie. Get some education. You need to get an education and get out of this business. And so I took a brief hiatus and did get an education and then went right back into the business again because you can't ever stop, you know. I mean, once you've been bitten by the bug, uh-oh. You can't stop. Are you overtime?
I got to take another break, yeah.
All right.
I'll be right back with you. Well, January 26th at Gulfstream, the sixth race, a $52,500 maiden special. 3-year-old fillies was won by Close Hatches. Another runner from the first crop by First Defense. Bred by Millsack LTD, owned by Judd Mott Farm and trained by Bill Mott. Close Hatches won by Widening 7 Lengths over a field of 11 at the direct expense of Sister State, a daughter of AP Indy. Other fillies in the field were by such sires as Bernardini and Giants Causeway, Malibu Moon, More Than Ready. Close Hatches was given rising star status by the Thoroughbred Daily News, who wrote, quote, she came alive, entering the turn, and started picking off horses with alarming ease to challenge for the front while spinning four or five wide coming into the lane. Her foes simply could not match Close Hatches' kick, and she reported home a facile seven-length victress in the performance reminiscent of her champion stablemate Royal Delta, unveiling at Belmont in 2010, unquote. Already the sire of a group stakes winner in his first crop, First Defense, a grade one stakes winner by Unbridled Song out of Empire Makers, grade one winning half-sister, Honest Lady, she's by Seattle Slough, stands for $7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Got to take care of my buddies down in Macaulay's. If y'all don't use Macaulay feeds, you should. Last weekend was another productive one for horses raised on products from Macaulay Brothers. The 1-2 finishers in the Grade 3 Holy Bull, It's My Lucky Day and Eclipse Award winner Shanghai Bobby, were bred respectively by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm and by Stonehaven Steadings. Kwai Ketty, bred by Spencerip Farm, won the Grade 2 Forward Gal Stakes on the same card as the Holy Bull. In California, 50 Shades of Hay, bred by Windstar Farm, won the Grade 3 Santa Isabel Stakes, and the Marie G. Grant's Memorial at the Fairgrounds was won by Daisy Devine, a Grade 1 winner last year, bred by Riley McDonald. Congratulations to all. The performance of runners raised on Macaulay on Macaulay Brothers products gives solid testimony to the quality of those products. So why don't you give them a try? Just call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Join the winning team. Macaulay's was the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. And that's why we say that at Macaulay's, it's all about the horse. Well, Mythical Power had brilliant speed, sprinted 7 furlongs in the dirt at Santa Anita in 120 flat. Carried that speed around 2 turns to win 2 graded stakes, one at a mile, the other at a mile and 16th. Also ran 2nd in the Grade 1 Historic Woodward at to Eclipse Award finalist Quality Road. Now it's stood for $25,000. Shipped in to beat Kentucky Derby winner Mind That Bird in the Sunland Derby. And placed in the Grade 2 San Carlos at Santa Anita. Earned over $821,000 after finishing on the board at distances from 6 to 9 furlongs. Mythical Power is by the $3,267,000 earner Congaree, winner of 5 Grade 1 stakes and placed in both the Derby and the Preakness. Congaree sired 10 stakes winners in his first two crops, and he's the sire of 2 stakes winners already this year, including Geronimo, winner of the Grade 2 San Gabriel at Santa Anita, and earlier 5 other graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Shoemaker Mile. Out of the Good Stakes Mare School for Scandal, she earned over $146,000. Mythical Power standing his first in his season at stud, $7,500 doing a full stands of nurses. And if you're one of the first 15 to book to him and you breed twice, you will receive a free lifetime breeding right. Stands a War Horse place called Jerry Assinger. That's 859-509-0053 or Dana Assinger, 859-509-3157. See the website at warhorseplace.com.
The horse right here, the name is Paul.
I'm talking to Zach
Kenneman. Ah, you got
it. Yay! Well, you know, it took me 3 or 4 times, but it helped. I didn't know how to spell Urschel until I was in the 6th grade. And Kate Lantaff. Zach is from all over, and Kate's from Seattle. So anyway, but okay, so you've got the farm. How long have you owned this piece of property over here now?
This farm we bought in 2005. We leased it for a year in 2004 and then actually inked the deal in 2005. We've been really happy there. It's a wonderful piece of real estate. You can really raise a good horse there. Mm-hmm. And some nice horses that have been raised there. And
who had it before you?
Steve Snowden had it before.
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
Yeah. It had been leased to a variety of people for a number of years. I think Golden Chance had it for a while.
Is that right?
Yeah. I was told that, you know, John Henry spent part of his formative years there.
John Henry spent years everywhere.
He probably did. I think Steve's brother Bubba had something to do with that. Yeah. So
Off and on. He owned him 3 times, I think. Of course, Bubba will tell you he made money with him all 3 times.
He probably did.
Oh, I bet you owned Bubba, he would.
So, Ursula, I got to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Sit in here and talk to some of the most interesting people in our business. And I've heard, you know, being at the racetrack and breeding industry for years and years and years, there are such wonderful stories, but they're all oral at this point. Does anybody ever, or has anybody ever said anything about writing this stuff down? Because it's just, you know, they're too good to lose. And once the successive generations leave us, who's
well, I'm too lazy to write.
I used to write
a column for the Racing Form.
The shows are go to the library.
Yeah, but the shows are being
archived
over.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are they? That's good.
Yeah. Although I haven't taken one in for a couple of years now, but.
I just think, you know, with getting new people into the business, which we're all trying to do right now, into the breeding end of the racing business, especially the racing business, it's so inspirational reading and listening to people who've been in it forever and hearing the stories. And the stories are what make it fascinating and fun. And, you know, you think about some of the great writers of old that we just – I mean, I'm thinking of like J. Hub Day right now and Stephen Crisp, but
Joe Palmer,
who in days of yore, you know, Bob McNulty, Red Smith.
You have this, don't you?
What is that, the Fireside
Book
of Horse Racing?
No.
This was Racing?
Yeah, with Joe Palmer.
They're wonderful stories.
Aren't they?
I mean, they're terrific. You read the account that was written of the match race between Seabiscuit and War Admiral, and, you know, he's characterizing War Admiral as looking at the end like a, what did he say, a fat poodle chasing a meat wagon.
No.
The writing was just wonderful, and it drew a whole generation of people into racing. I mean, they just became fascinated with it because it was so compelling. And it just seems to me that, you know, we've got pretty cut and dry accounts these days, except for a handful of people who are writing about racing.
Well,
somebody needs to write this all down and to make a Fireside Book of Racing or a This Was Racing.
You can do that in your spare time.
In my spare time.
There you go.
I will, of course, when I'm
I don't know what they're doing with him over there. When Nick Nicholson was there, he wanted to archive him, and I don't know if they're still doing now or not. I haven't taken anywhere in about a year or two, I think.
Oh, right. Is this over at the Keenan Library?
Yeah, Keenan Library.
The early
shows were all there. I don't know if they've done anything with them other than they were just sitting over there on tapes.
Right.
I was taping them at that time.
Right.
And then, of course, I put them on discs. You know.
Yeah.
But
I know what you mean. Yeah. It's a shame to lose it all because we lose a lot of information and we lose, I don't know, a lot of the reasons that most of us got into the business in the first place. It's the camaraderie of the racetrack and the feeling that we're all in this together and everybody helped one another. And
I was born into it, so I didn't have much choice.
There you go.
I didn't know if it didn't smell like horse manure, I didn't know anything about it, so I just kind of stayed in.
There you go. There you go.
But that's.
I was just kind of curious about that. If anybody had ever mentioned the burning desire to write all this down before we all forget it.
Yeah. I'm trying to avoid that.
Nick had said one time that he was going to get some summer kids from UK or somewhere to type all these things out. And, you know, now, of course, they have programs. I think if you play them, they go to paper. But I'm not sure.
Yeah, but there's kind of nothing like the written word. I mean,
when I started doing this, this particular show, I taped them all. And a lot of the people that I've talked to are gone now.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, good people, Herman Goodpasture and people like that, you know, that I don't know if you knew Herman or not. But
familiar name, but I didn't.
Well, let's get back to you. I'm boring.
Whatever.
What are you all doing? Are you breeding to race?
We're
selling?
To race right now. We spent the first several years kind of caught up in the breed to sell, the commercial part of it, and it's so hard, and it's gotten harder. I guess the quest for perfection. I mean, you can't have anything wrong with you. And it's with the size of some of these books that they're allowing right now with these stallions, it's super competitive because, you know, if you're one of 100 at the sale, you know, you can have made all the right decisions in the world on your breeding and you can have raised a wonderful foal, but you have a couple of flaws and...
Yeah.
You know, you're up against it. And, you know, we're at a position right now where we'd much rather, where we get our enjoyment is from running horses.
Yeah. And right. So you're breeding to run.
We're breeding to run now.
Well, that's
which is why we
That opens it up a whole lot.
It does. But it does. You're not constrained by the flavor of the day, whatever it is.
Exactly. You know.
Yeah. And it, like I said, it is so much more fun. We're having the time of our lives right now. We haven't gotten the opportunities because we kind of started this leading into winter.
Yeah. When did you all first come to the training center here?
We moved over in, I want to say it was September.
Yeah.
This last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Subleasing.
A barn right now.
Barn right now. And we had horses over on Rice Road with...
Alex Clark's Alex and Clark. Patty. Yeah.
Alex and
great Patty. People.
Great people. And we had a very nice horse that ran up in Indiana, won his first time out on the turf. And, he's over in the barn now. Nothing wrong with but he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
A minor injury, and we decided to just simply to back off, give him a rest, let the injury heal, and... About that time, we were consolidating. We had horses in California. We had horses in Maryland.
Pennsylvania.
And we said, what's the point of that? If we're not seeing these things every day or can see them, I got over here in the snow and the muck today in less than 10 minutes. If you can't see them and you can't put your hand on them, what's the point?
Yeah.
I mean, the money, I can understand that, but... I think most of the people that I know and I care about in this industry do it because they love these creatures. We just briefly touched on the fact that marquetry had to be put down over at Old Friends. And the person that runs Old Friends, Michael Blowen, is one of the most wonderful people I know.
Mm-hmm.
He does what he does because of a passion for the horse and for our racing heritage. And, we have several horses that we've taken back from the racetrack that we didn't have to. I mean, Mr. Bulge is a pretty good example. He's
our teaser.
He's our teaser now, so he's probably got the worst job in the world in my mind. But
he's still able.
Yeah, absolutely.
26 years old and still gets excited about every mare he sees. So
we got him for free. He was in a terrible situation in Arizona, and through the efforts of some people in Horse Rescue in California, what's the gal that runs their band company?
Vita Randall.
Vita gave us a free ride. We got Mr. Bulge on the truck. He had never been in Kentucky. He's a cowbred. And
he made about $273,000 when that was the hard way.
Uh-huh,
he won a real good deal and a lot of cowbred stakes. He's by Bulger.
Yeah.
One of I think he's probably the last son of Bulger around. And just a sweetie.
Yeah, it's just this is, again, it's talking about the passion that we have for our industry. We didn't do this to get stars or be known. We did this because...
have fun.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine him going to Mexico and becoming
too.
A taco. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and that's where he was headed. He was in a kill pen in Arizona. And it was
so he steps on a van in the desert, a sand paddock, and he steps off in Kentucky in the middle of summer. And that horse... I think he thought he died and gone to heaven.
Yeah.
And he just looked, and there was grass as far as his eyes could see.
Make feel good.
Every night, he sure appreciates the carrots and the feed that he gets, and he talks. And he's a stallion still, so he doesn't really spend too much time being a sweetie. But he's a character, and he has a home until his last and final race.
Well, that's great. Yeah.
But... and just back to marquetry, we had a horse by marquetry named Sans Serif. He ran in Arizona fairly successfully. But again, that marquetry, just what a wonderful horse.
Gorgeous horse, wasn't it?
Earner of over
$2 million. Too much white suit me. But.
Oh, I love him. You could have cross-registered him as a paint, I think, with that. He had the belly markings and he had it above his knees. And absolutely.
But, it's like with Michael and I think everybody that I know that I consider friends in this business. It was just like what happened to us in Arkansas. We got I get off the subject a little bit too much, but you have a passion for these animals, and you have an ultimate responsibility when you bring them into this world, you raise them, that they're not just something you can take down to the Lexington Humane Society.
It's not disposable.
Take care.
Yeah, right.
And we have a couple of retired mares on our farm who are well into their 30s. And
well, how many mares do you have now that you're breeding?
Right now we have 10 total. We've cut down quite a bit. I mean, we had at one point closer to 20. So we about cut it down by half. We have 3 retired mares and a couple of retired geldings that we bought back or claimed back that we've given homes or where's Saps, can I say.
You're talking to one.
Yeah.
So that's all right. Well, hey, I'm going to have to let you guys go.
Thank you, Ursel. I really appreciate
it.
It's been
a
lot of fun.
Stopping by.
We'll come back when Otto wins a big race. We'll come back and give him
there you go. Yeah.
The high fives over the air, because he certainly deserves it. Then nobody works harder.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe get that old friend of his, Gary Stevens, to ride one of our
horses. Yeah, we'll try.
Right. All right, guys, thank you. I really do appreciate y'all coming by. It's Zach Kinneman and Kate Lantoff, and thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. All right, well, answer this, Philly from the first crop by Invisor turned in a solid performance in last Saturday's running of the Marie G. Krantz Memorial at the Fairgrounds. Austis forced the pace and finished a closing second to the Grade 1 Stakes winner Near Millionaire Daisy Devine. It was her first start of the year for the filly. Last year, she won a maiden special at Arlington, won a $42,000 allowance test at the same track, and she went into her first stakes trial for another impressive win at the Fairgrounds. She's posted wins on grass and artificial. She's a filly with a future. Horse of the World, Invisor, winner of 6 consecutive Grade 1 stakes, including the Breeders' Cup Classic over Bernardini, posted a 116 bar, and Dubai World Cup and Dubai World Cup. Tried with earnings of more than $7,804,000. Stands at Shadwell Farm for $4,000 live foal. Also at Shadwell, Albertus Maximus Daher, Interdob, Jazzle, and Mustin Far. Inquiries to Stand Manager Kent Barnes, 859-224-4585, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Well, I want to talk about my friends over at Kesmark, and if you've got a problem with one of your horses, you want it straightened out, and they take everything from serious industries, or they'll just freshen one up for you over at Kesmark. Now, Kesmark is, as you go down to Versailles Road, you turn right across from the castle, you turn left, and that's the Shannon Run Road. That's right there. Pisgah Pike on one side and Shannon Run Road on the other. And that's where Kesmark is. It's spelled K-E-S-M-A-R-C. And they're loaded, like I say, they're just a couple of miles from Keeneland. They've got a variety of tools at their disposal there that you just can't find available anywhere else. And they're tools designed to benefit the horse. And they've got a staff school in the use of those tools. Most of the veterinarians around Central Kentucky and further away, as far as that goes, use the Kesmark facilities. In fact, pretty near every horse that comes to Kesmark has their own vet, so if you stay around there long enough, you'll meet them all. They open their doors, like I say, to the critically injured, from the critically injured to those who just need a little freshening. For instance, Gracie Hall was just there for a little freshening a little bit earlier. But some of the name horses that have gone through there, like Kitten's Joy and Colonel John and Einstein and Badge of Silver and Any Given Saturday and Spite's Town and Magna Graduate and Roses of May, believe me, that's just scratching the surface. Horses that have been there and have been helped. And like I said, they've got a variety of great tools over there to use. There's a cold water spa. There's an aqua tread, a swimming pool, freestyle walkers, indoor walking and jogging rings. There's a vibrating platform that, incidentally, was developed by the space program. It stimulates hoof growth and enhances circulation. Hyperbaric oxygen chamber. They've got it all. Plus paddocks and turnout paddocks and round pens. Here's how you get in touch with them. Go to the website. It's KESMARC.com, Kesmark. Or if you want to give them a call, ask for Kirsten over there, 859-873-9955. And incidentally, it is very, very reasonable. Let's see now, where are we? Okay, well, More Than Ready has a worldwide reputation for siring runners in the Northern Hemisphere. You sired 63 stakes winners, 21 graded, grade one stakes, 21 graded stakes winners, and three Breeders' Cup champions. He has ranked number one on the juvenile sire list. In the Southern Hemisphere, he's got 49 stakes winners, 25 group stakes winners, and three champions. Total, More Than Ready has sired worldwide 112 stakes winners, 46 of them graded stakes winners, and his progeny has earned nearly $90 million. Now, last year, More Than Ready sired 23 individuals that sold for $100,000 or more, with 11 selling for $200,000 or more. So the demand is strong for his progeny. And here's a fact of interest. More Than Ready has sired well over 200 stakes horses from some 120 different broodmare sires. Send a nice mare to More Than Ready, and he'll get you a runner. He stands at Windstar Farm, $60,000 payable when a foal stands and nurses. Inquires to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, Chance Tim, and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All righty, well, we've got Steve Moody with us right now, and they're running a couple of stakes down in the fairgrounds today. Of course, he puts out that fairground sheet, which you can get on brisnet.com. That's BRISNET.com. And Steve, pick one of them as the best betting race and give me the winner.
All right, Ursula. Well, the two races that they're running down there today as far as stakes are the Tiffany Lass, which is looks like that race will probably go to Larry the Oaks winner from Burton Jones and Larry Jones, Believe You Can. So we'll try to go to the other one here and
okay.
see if we can come up with a winner. The other race is the ninth race, the Battle of New Orleans. It's 5.5 furlongs on the turf, and you got a field of eight in here. This is for 3-year-old fillies. And the one thing that jumps out of this race, Ursula, is that it looks like it's going to be a pretty hot pace in here with the one horse core. Got a lot of speed. And then the five horse, Live in Peace. This one from Michael Stidham. And that one also has a tremendous amount of early speed. Doesn't really like to go any other way. And with those two out there winging it and maybe one other one that wants to go early, I think the pace is going to be kind of hot and looks like it's going to set up for something that's got a little bit of tactical speed. And I think that's the bottom horse in here, the 8 Gator Zone. And she comes in for the Kleins, Steve Margolis, Sean Bridgmahan has the mount. She's shown that she can run from just off of it, and I think she's going to be kind of laying in the garden spot down there early on in this race. And when the leaders begin to get softened up, I think maybe she can pick up the pieces. So we're going to go with the 8 Gator Zone, 7-2 on the morning line. We'll go with the one of the speedsters, Core. To run second, and then the 6 horse Sunset Time got both her wins on the grass, and maybe she can make a little bit of a late run too and get a minor share. So we'll go 8-1-6 in the ninth race today, the Battle of New Orleans.
The Battle of New Orleans. I thought that was a Sugar Bowl. All right.
Or tomorrow, the Super Bowl.
Oh, well, that's right. The Super Bowl tomorrow. Okay, who's going to win it?
Well, I don't know. I guess one of the Harbaughs, I guess, they're going to be the winner one way or the other.
Yeah, right. I could care less, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I was telling a friend of mine yesterday, Ursula, that, you know, watching the UK game tonight and the Indiana-Michigan game tonight, right after that, to me, that's more, it will be more entertaining than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. All right, Steve, thank you so much. I appreciate it. That's been Steve Moody with, you can pick up that Fairgrounds sheet at brisnet.com. Thanks, Steve.
All right, Arthur.
Well, last Saturday, Gulfstream, the grade 2 $200,000 forward gal was won by Quiet Kitty, a 3-year-old filly by Malibu Moon, bred by Spencer Farman. That same day at Law, the Nellie Morris went to Moon Filly, a 4-year-old filly, she too by Malibu Moon. Those two stakes wins, followed by just 6 days, the score by More Chocolate, yet another 4-year-old filly by Malibu Moon, and the grade 2 La Conada stakes at Santa Anita. Of course, that's what we've come to expect from Malibu Moon, the nation's 6th-ranked sire in 2012. Running second to Quiet Kitty and the grade 2 forward gal, My Happy Face, a 3-year-old filly from the first crop by the young Spendthrift sire, Tis Wonderful. Bred by Spendthrift Farman, Shawhan Place, My Happy Face won the grade 3 Tempted and was ahead bobbing second in the grade 1 Frisette last year at 2. She's one of 20 first crop winners by Tis Wonderful, an undefeated multiple graded stakes winner at 2 and a son of Tis Now. Malibu Moon and Tis Wonderful, $12,500 due on the full stands and nurses, both stand at Spendthrift. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Mark Toothacker, or Ned Toffee at 859-294-0030. Always inquire about breeding incentives, such as discounts for multiple breedings, and that are available for many of the Spendthrift stallions. And see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
Succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is BrisNet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer stats, detailed pedigree data, brisk class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaways. For a true picture of how the race will be run, Discover Bristat.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
McGarry, winner of his first start by four lengths on January 24 in Louisiana, is another winner from the first crop by No Biz Like Showbiz. First foals by No Biz Like Showbiz raced at two last year. 15 have won a place with two to place in stakes. Gallant Performer won her career debut in a maiden special by 12 and a quarter lengths, then placed in the $75,000 Miss Shenandoah Stakes. Thank You Kisses won a maiden special in her second start and then placed in Hillsdale Stakes. Let Me Entertain You won a $67,000 maiden special at Aqueduct. She goes today in the stakes up there. I believe it's the Busher. And she looks like a filly with a great future. Showbiz Is My Biz, after a second at Arlington, won a maiden special at Hawthorne, and the list just keeps right on growing. No Biz Like Showbiz was some kind of a racehorse. After breaking his maiden in a maiden special at Belmont, he started 12 in 12 graded stakes. Six won six of them, including the grade one Wood, and he earned over $1,544,000. Now he's sending hard-hitting runners to the races for $5,000 doing a full stands and nurses. Stands at Crestwood Farm. Give Pope McLean a call at 859-252-3770. Always ask about possible breeding incentives and check the website at crestwoodfarm.com. No, I'm doing all right over there, I think. My bride just asked if she needed me. She's over there gabbing to our guests. Still guessing? Anyway, let's see. Going back to the Thoroughbred Center, last month we had 29 winners. Of course, they just had 23 winners. 13 racing days down at Turfway last month. They didn't run last night, incidentally. But we had 23 winners during those 13 racing days, which is pretty doggone good. And I don't know if we're running up there or not. It looked like it stopped snowing here just about. But at 9:30 this a.m. this morning, it was still a go at Turfway, so we shall see what's going on. Since last week's show, Jim Dodgen settled a winner up there, and Jimmy Cargan, Troy Rankin, Magdaleno Nolasco saddled two winners, one at Turfway and the one at Bueller. And then Bill Shelley saddled Jamal the Brute to win. So it's pretty good month. There's not many opportunities, but I think and they're more limited this month. They're just going to race on Fridays and Saturdays. So anyway, that's the way that goes. Well, I want to say a little bit about Marquetry. I'm awfully sorry about Marquetry passing. They had to put him down over at Old Friends. Yesterday, because he was bred by E.A. Cox Jr. Bobby Frankel trained him, and he won three grade one stakes. He won the Hollywood Gold Cup, the Meadowlands Cup, and he won the Eddie Reed Handicap in California. Those two, they were all grade one stakes. Won a total of seven stakes, and he earned $2,844,000. He sired 31 stakes winners. He was not a bound, great success at stud, but he shot a couple of champions. Artex, who was a champion sprinter, and won the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and a terribly named horse named Squirtle Squirt, who was a champion sprinter, too. He also won the Breeders' Cup Sprint. So that music means it's time for me to bail out. I want to thank you all for listening, and
I'll put it up.
Yeah.
HerselEllisHorseTales.com.
All right, it'll be up very soon. All right, well, thanks, everybody, and be careful out there, and we'll talk to you next week.
Happy Friday.